Today, time for some home truths, maybe? Hello again, it's Martin Elth from Digital Finance Analytics World, and that is posts covering finance and property news. Well, of course, all of the newspapers are full of the 1 October government incentive changes for first-time buyers. And it's wall-to-wall coverage and, of course, wall-to-wall spruiking. I've made a few shows about this, but it is such an important event that it's worth just reflecting on it in a slightly different context today. And on the way in, it's worth noting here that, of course, Elizabeth Redman, for example, the National Property Editor, wrote that from yesterday, more first home buyers are eligible to purchase with a low 5% deposit using the federal government's expanded first home guarantee schemes. But that means a 95% home loan, and it doesn't make property prices any cheaper. And of course, buyers must qualify for a home loan, so anyone buying at the upper price cap needs a healthy income. And economists have warned that demand-driven schemes put upward pressure on prices, although Treasury's modelling is, of course, over 5 years, not much at all. Now, it's worth just highlighting, as she says here, that modelling from comparisons service Compare Club found that to buy at the Sydney price cap on the minimum deposit, a couple would need a combined income of, wait for it, $290,000. And a single income buyer would need $285,000. That is a large amount. That is well above the median income in and around Sydney. So it's a relatively small proportion of people who will find this beneficial. And of course, banks are going to war. Another article here highlights the fact that Macquarie is becoming very much active in the mortgage market. And it's interesting, the report earlier in the year by Westpac estimated that the 400,000 borrowers technically captured by the combined exist and expanded scheme is a big number, but those numbers will be significantly whittled away by loan serviceability constraints. Add to that complexity, home prices are already on a run with figures released by Cotality, as I discussed yesterday, up. And of course, whilst the Treasury is only saying 0.5% over the next 6 years, Insurance Council of Australia modelled home values up between 5 and 10% over the next year alone. And there are still considerable constraints, specifically hitting first-time buyers, but buyers more broadly too. Now, if you want more information about the expectations of prices, check out my show from yesterday, when I covered the Cotality data in some detail. But today I want to dive into regional Australia and look specifically at what Cotality said about regional New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland, South Australia, Western Australia, and Tasmania and Northern Territory, because, well, they said that dwelling values are at peak in New South Wales, Queensland, South Australia and Western Australia, and they're down in regional Victoria, down 4.6%. The peak there was May 2022, 7.3% down in regional Northern Territory, that's back in April 16, and down 0.5% in Tasmania from May 2022. And they also showed that prices over the past 5 years, on average, have risen 49.7% in New South Wales, 34.8% in regional Victoria, but Queensland regional areas saw prices 76.9% higher, regional South Australia 78.4%, and regional Western Australia 87.1%, and regional Tasmania 47.4%. And then they also highlighted the fact that since February, on average, that's since the first rate cut, regional New South Wales prices are up 2.7%, regional Victoria up 2.7%, regional Queensland up 6%, regional South Australia up 5.5%, regional Western Australia 6.4%, regional Tasmania up 0.9%, and regional Northern Territories up 2.3%. And then they helpfully provided a SA3 ranking showing the annual change was most significant in the area around Tamworth with 12.4%, followed by the Lower Murray at 11.2%, Albury at 10%, and even Dubbo was at 6.9% over the last 12 months. Now, it's worth highlighting the fact those median values are at the lower end of the range. Now, this might then take you to the conclusion that, in fact, regional Australia is booming everywhere and, you know, panic, panic. But actually, it's not quite like that. So what I want to do now is to dive into an area that I know extremely well, of course, and it's God's own country. It's the Illawarra, and it's postcode 2515, which includes both Austenmere and Thorall. Now, these are coastal areas south of Sydney, on the main train line to Sydney, but still a reasonable commute to get into the centre of town. And it is worth looking at the detail because, as I want to highlight, and I keep highlighting this, you need to go granular to really understand what's going on. And here, the story of prices is, well, quite different from what you might have concluded it would be based on the aggregate data from Catality. So we're going to take a look at that now. We're going to start in Thorall, and we'll start by noting that there are 29 properties for sale in Thorall at the moment. It's actually quite a high number. And you can see them marked on the map. Now, we can go down the list and we can see their houses, townhouse, for example, at the market at 1.6 to 1.7 million. There are other prices on request for houses, villas, apartments, and another property there, a house, 1.6 to 1.7 million at the Waves. Going down the list again, notice how few indicators of price there actually are on the portals, auctions, or price guides. But, you know, 2.5, 2.25, 2.6 to 2.7 million, 2.3 million, or expressions of interest. And again, price guide 2.2, price guide on request, price guide 2.3 to 2.45, price guide 1.09 million, a house, price guide 1.495 to 1.595, and 1.6 to 1.7. You get the drift. And again, prices 1.7 to 1.8 for a house in Thorall, or 2.2 to 2.35, or contact agent, or an auction guide of 1.45 million, price guide of 1.18 million for a townhouse, a bit crowded in there, and more contact agent. Now, the other interesting observation is there are a number of properties off market. In other words, agents know about them, but they're not actually on any of the portals. I'm seeing more of this more generally, and certainly in this area, we are seeing more off-market opportunities. In other words, agents know that there are properties around, but not necessarily actively being marketed on the property portals. That is part of this problem of trying to work out what's really going on in the market, because frankly, it's harder and harder for the average punter to get good information about what property is listed and what price is listed at and what's really available. Of course, the agents want to keep that to themselves, particularly now. But I do highlight the fact that it is harder and harder to get really good information without a lot of footfall or a lot of online searching. And remember that the portal's information is partial at best. Now, in terms of Thorall, what sold over the last 8 weeks? Well, 10 properties sold in Thorall in the past 8 weeks, and you can see them there marked on the map. And there is little information available from the portals other than saying the last asking price. Well, go click on the information, you might get some more. You can see there that there was a one that sold at $2.12 million. It was a house, but not a lot of information. And the other problem, if you go to the New South Wales portal, this is the one run by the registry people in New South Wales. Of course, it's delayed because it takes a month or two to settle on property. And so if you go down the list there, you can see that there is information relating to sales, but it's mostly July that information is available. And there is a fundamental question in my mind about what happens when the sale information finally comes through from the registry people. Does it find the way back into the portals? Not always. So again, there is this big gap between the time of a price actually being agreed and it's settled and it being shown in some of the portals, or indeed on the New South Wales site, which is free to users. Unfortunately, in many other states now, there is no such equivalent to this, and you have to then pay for information because it was being privatised. Shameful, but true. So we can go a bit further with the Thrill analysis and look at the median price between 2016 and 2025. This is actually to the end of August. The September data is still come through. And you can see there that back in 2016, the median house price was $670,000. In August 2025, the median was $1.11 million. But it's worth noting that whilst there was quite a significant rise in 2017, there were falls in 2018, 2019, and there was a massive run-up in 2020, 21, and 22. The peak in 2021 was 30% up on average, and in 2022, it was about 17% higher. But then we had a significant drop, more than 10% down in 2023, and then a very small rise in 2024, and an even smaller rise in 2025, well below the average suggested by Cotality. Now, it's important to understand that there was a significant run-up because of all the government stimulus and because of the interest, particularly in regional New South Wales, during the post-COVID period. But things have changed a bit since then, so prices are not really on the up much at all. Units have followed a pretty similar trend, in fact, a slightly worse trend, insofar that in average terms, August 2016, the median price was $320,000. Now it's $406,000. There was a significant fall in 2019, more than 50% down, a small fall in 2018, 2017, and there were rises in 2020, about 16%, 2021, near 20%, and then about 14% in 2020. But nothing much happened in 2023. There was a fall in 2024 and a further fall in 2025. So once again, it's worth highlighting the fact that prices really have gone sideways since 2022 in Thrill 2515. A bit different from perhaps what some of the papers would be reporting. We'll go then to Austinmere, just up the road. And in Austinmere, 12 properties are listed for sale. You can see them there on the map. And you can see that the price guides are, well, limited, but there are houses in the 2.2 or below range, or maybe a townhouse at 1.34 million if you're feeling sporty, or a standalone detached house at 1.675 million. Unfortunately, quite a few of the properties are not containing price information, particularly auction related, offers invited, price on request, price guide, price on request, as you can see there. And another property is guided at 2.1 to 2.2. Another set of information here showing again price guide and viewings on request by negotiation for sale, no price, price on request, contact agent, and there's a price guide here for a townhouse at 1.35 million. And there is also an off-market opportunity as well in Austinmere, so agents do have a few properties up their sleeve, but not necessarily at very good prices. And just in terms of what sold, well, the one property sold in the last 8 weeks in Austinmere. And you can see there that it was a house with 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms and 2 car spaces. Once again, it's worth highlighting that the data from the New South Wales Registry is delayed. You can see here information that is available up till June, but no transactions have been recorded since then as yet. It will probably come through later, but it shows that it's quite difficult to get good information on what is actually happening on the ground, particularly when the volume of sales is so low, which begs the question, do we really know what price values are in this area? Well, we can look at the median prices as reported, but this is partial, particularly because the volumes of transactions are so low. This is the trend for houses in Austenmere. Back in 2016, the median price was 1.15 million, and now in August 2025, it's 2.08 million. Looking at the trends, there was a small rise in 2017 and 2018, a fall in 2019, a very significant rise in 2020 above 20%, and close to 40% in 2021. Madness as people decided to move down the coast from Sydney post-COVID, putting a real rocket under prices. There was a small rise in 2022 and 2023, a drop about 7% in 2024, and a small rise of about 4 or 4.5% in 2025. So you can see that really those 2 years of 2020 and 2021, thanks to government stimulus and the COVID issue, really drove prices through the roof. And since then, they've pretty much gone down or sideways. Units have followed on pretty much. Back in August 2016, the median price for a unit was $798,000. There was a rise in 2017, a fall in 2018, 2019, a rise in 2020 of close to 10%, well over 20% in 2021, and well over 15% in 2022. But there was a fall of more than 10% in 2023, a rise of about 8% in 2024, and a fall in 2025 of about 1.5%. So the point I'm trying to make here is that the average data, as reported in the media and in Cotality and other of these aggregate indices, really don't tell you that much at all. When you look at individual areas, as I've done here, you can see that the story is quite different. But there are three observations I think it's worth highlighting. Price growth is certainly not as strong as represented in the mainstream media in these regional areas. Secondly, there are some prices that are being withheld, and that's an interesting sign. Quite often, agents withhold price information when they haven't achieved their targets because, of course, they want to obfuscate what's going on. So it's very difficult for people to actually understand what is really a true and fair value. And when you talk to agents, they'll give you a bit of spin. Thirdly, agents do have some properties that are not listed, but are sort of unofficially available. And certainly that is a technique that is being employed more and more at the moment. Agents keeping their cards very close to their chest, hoping to get a bigger price. And of course, if you are a prospective vendor with a vague interest in selling, but not a real interest in selling, you're going to hang out to try and get a full price. So to my mind, this shows the real complexity in the property market at the moment and why it's so important to go really granular. And of course, if you want to have a one-to-one conversation with me about a particular suburb, well, we have data at our fingertips that we can certainly share and highlight what's really going on down on the ground. But I do want to highlight again, don't get caught up in the FOMO. Don't get caught up in all of the media spruiking or the bank spruiking, because the banks, of course, are willing to lend and want to lend. And I will just highlight once again that for many people, the prospect of a 5% deposit is relatively unimportant because their income is just not growing fast enough to cover the repayments, which means they're still out of the market. Which is the fundamental point, of course, that these incentive programs push prices higher, make housing more unaffordable, and leave more people out in the cold. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.